serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with Navy veteran Leonard Francis of Bakersfield, California. We've heard a few highlights from his colorful century of life, how he tried out for the Hollywood Stars of the pre-war Pacific Coast League and was actually offered a spot in professional baseball but turned it down because the friends he rode down there with did not make the squad. We heard how he met his wife, Mary Catherine, because he couldn't skate and she's the one who helped him up after he fell down at the roller rink. We heard how he had to leave Mary Catherine and their two young sons behind when he sailed off to war. Mrs. Francis passed away last year, and last week Leonard marked what would have been their 77th anniversary by paying a visit to her grave. He, of course, looks forward to their eternal reunion, but we need to get the story of their reunion after his Navy service in World War II on the destroyer USS Ludlow.
Oh, yes, that was great. You know, they took those ships, all six of those destroyers, and we went back to Charleston, South Carolina. We went through the canal, and that's where they were going to decommission them. And so we were back there for a little while, and then whenever we got discharged, there was several of us got discharged same time back there in North Carolina. We come by train to Long Beach. And we were discharged in Terminal Island. And that was one of the happiest days of my life because my wife was waiting there with the boys.
Did they remember who you were, the boys?
Yeah, they did. The little one, I don't think he knew too much, but they knew who I was. All right.
You know, most of us haven't lived through something like this, so I know I asked some questions that may seem kind of obvious or dumb to you, but when you go through something like that, when you're separated from your wife and kids and half a world away with your life in danger, and then it's all over and you come back, do you have a different perspective on life moving forward after that's all over?
I don't really think so. I just knew we had to go on, and that didn't really change much. It was just one of those things that had to be, and it was all over, and we were so happy that the war was over. Just life had to go on, that's all.
And I know back here in Kern County, you worked for Coca-Cola and as well as a beer distributor, delivering beverages around and all that. But you also traveled a lot playing softball. And as you mentioned before, this was a big deal. How competitive was fast pitch softball for men in the 40s and 50s?
Well, it was really big. We would have out at our fairgrounds, we played out here at the fairgrounds, they called it. We would get 3,000-4,000 people there. And that was quite a few people in those days because, you know, really, they didn't have anything else to do. You know, you didn't have television and you didn't have much of anything. We didn't have any professional sports or anything. So they just went to softball. So we all just played softball. And Taft in 48, they wanted to get a team over in Taft. And that's a little town about 35, 40 miles west of Bakersfield. So they gathered all the best softball players they could get, and we made a team over in Taft, and that was in 48, and we got pretty good. We could beat everybody around because we had a very good pitcher named Les Haney. There was a traveling team of colored fellows. They was named Sioux City Ghosts, and they traveled all around the United States playing teams, and they come out here and played us, and nobody could beat them, but we come out here and played us and we beat them. So they thought, well, these guys are pretty good. We ought to send them to the national tournament. And so we did. We made up. And at that time, the national tournament was in Oklahoma City. So the Taft City, they called it the Taft Merchants, and they got up enough money to send us back to Oklahoma City with on a train. And by golly, we fooled around and won that tournament. We won the world championship in 48. With Taft.
And that wasn't your last championship for you.
That was really the first one. After that, I played with the Hope Packers. They picked me up, and we won the tournament back there in Greeley. So, and all together, I played in six world championships, different world championships, and we won four of them. And we played for teams from all over the United States and Canada and Australia. We had a pretty good team.
Well, and I know that they put your Hoke Packers team and that era of teams from that Hoke Packers squad in the Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame. Are you in any other halls of fame?
No, that's the only one.
Sounds like you ought to be in the International Softball Congress Hall of Fame back there, too. Maybe we need to let them know that you're still going at 100, and they'll think about it. With all those exploits and that success in softball, that was probably something that was hard to let go of when you had to do that.
Yeah, you know, I played a long time because I started when out there at Wheat Patch when I was about 11 years old. And I think when I quit playing, let's see, I was in 50, I think 56 was the last one I played. So I played a long time, and I really enjoyed it. Then I took up golf.
And I read something that made me do a double take. I've met a lot of guys who have shot their age before. I've met guys with as many as 13, 14 holes in one. But I read that you shot a 72 when you were 90 years old. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I did. I was playing pretty good.
Most of us will never do that.
But you know, I could never break 70. I never got into the 60s, and I always wanted to do that, and I never did.
And you kept playing until you were 97, huh?
Yes.
What do you think would happen if you went back out to the tee right now?
I'd fall down flat on my face when I swung that club.
But the ball would go straight as an arrow right down the fairway, right?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the guys that always laughed. They said, you don't have to go look. Golf is not very good for you. All you do is go right down the middle. You don't see any of the course.
Well, and in those later years, as you're shooting your age, every time you take your clubs out to the course, something else came around. And here in your hometown, they started Honor Flight Kern County, and they started taking World War II veterans back to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And you got to do that. And I see some pictures right over there. In fact, there's Kevin McCarthy, one of the most powerful guys in our government right there. And he's making you look like the hero in that photo to me. What was that experience like for you? What'd you get out of it?
Well, it was one of the greatest experiments I've had. I mean, I really enjoyed it, and they just couldn't have been better taking care of us. They were so good. I didn't realize that what a job they were doing, but all of those people that took us, they were, everything just worked just slick as a whistle. And it was a great experience. I'd never been back to Washington, D.C., and to get to see all those memorials and see everything. I went to Arlington Cemetery, and I was really impressed. And the changing of the guards amazed me about those service guys there that do that. It was just a great experience for me that I would have never been able to do unless it had been for that honor flight. And I certainly thank them.
When you're standing at that World War II memorial and you realize, you know, this is what I was involved with, and you see the different elements of it that point to the Atlantic and the Pacific and the different battles, and then that wall of all the gold stars, and it says this represents 406,000 Americans who died in World War II. What went through your mind while you were looking at all of that?
Well, it was pretty tough, you know, to see those, you know, and it brought back memories, you know, that you'd forgot about, and you walk around there and you see some of those islands and you knew you were there. It was just such a great experience to look at that and honor those fellows that didn't come back. And it was pretty sad to think, pretty emotional, you know, to see what some of them did, you know. And they were such great heroes, the guys that never come back. They're the ones that you got to honor, you know. It was just a great experience for me for that honor flight to take us back there. We were accepted back there so well. When the plane landed in the airport and we went through the terminal, they had a line of people waiting for us to greet us, and I couldn't believe that. And I never had so many women kiss me in my life as I did there back in Washington, D.C., giving me a kiss. So I was real happy.
Uh-huh. And did you leave that lipstick on for when you came back and saw your wife, or did you wipe it all off?
No, I didn't tell my wife. I had so many kisses.
Well, it's a couple other things I want to ask you about the honor flight, but I'm just thinking about when you were there at that memorial, and you just said the guys who didn't come home are the guys that need to be honored. Did you have any friends or acquaintances that you lost during the war?
Yes, there was two. One of them was on a submarine. Another one, well, he wasn't lost, but he lost both arms. He was quite a guy. He lost both arms. It was blowed off. So those, you know, you kind of makes you wonder, and you're pretty close to those. And the kid on the submarine, they, of course, they never got him. You know, the submarine was sunk. His name was Hobbs. It's pretty sad whenever, you know, to think about those kids that didn't come home.
And you did. Your daughter wouldn't be here if you didn't. She would have never been born. You wouldn't have had all those years with your wife. 76 years of marriage with Mary Catherine. You got some advice for the rest of us? I don't know if any of us can live long enough to catch you, but 76 years is a long time. What was your guy's secret?
Well, I guess she was the secret. She just kept us together. I never seen such a woman that was so easygoing and so easy to get along with. I could just see her. Oh, I better not. Oh, boy, I don't know how to get over her.
I wish I would have had the privilege of meeting her.
Quite a woman. Anyway, I don't know. She just kept things together. She was such a great woman. And even before she passed away, she was still trying to help me. She was always saying, "Can I get you anything?" And when she couldn't hardly move, there she still wanted to help me.
Sounds like she set the bar pretty high.
She really did. I don't know how long it'll take me to get over. I go up to the cemetery. She's buried up there in the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Arvin. She passed away on the 14th of May. So we go up there every 14th of the month, put flowers on her grave. And now when I pass away, I think they put me right on top of her, so that'd be nice. We'll be back together again.
Well, I can hear the admiration and the love in your voice as you talk about her, and I know there's a lot of people that feel that way about you. But what are you most proud of? You made it to 100. Most people never do that. All these things that you've done or experienced, what would you say you're most proud of?
Well, I really don't know. I never gave a thought about it. Being proud of anything, I'm proud of my family. I couldn't have better kids, you know, than they are. They give me a nice 100th birthday party. I just couldn't ask for anything better than having the family that I have. I got a great daughter and another son, and a daughter, she's so wonderful for me. I wish I had more girls. I don't tell the boys that, but I wish I had more girls.
Of course, he doesn't mean that as a slight to his two sons, but that's going to give the family something to talk about as they prepare for his 101st birthday come December. I think you probably heard his centenarian smile through the radio today, but you can see it for yourself at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You'll also find a little information about his softball exploits and even a link to more about the Sioux City Ghosts, that famous barnstorming team of African Americans who sometimes drew 25,000 to 30,000 fans to their exhibitions. You remember Leonard saying that his team from Taft beat the Ghosts back in 1948. We're just about out of time on Hometown Heroes for today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.